Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Filling up right behind the Bills bench right now with their flags and their hey, 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 hey.
Hey, hey,
hey, hey.
Hey, hey, hey.
Let's go Buffalo chant.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Suddenly, chills from the fear of asking Sal a question that you maybe exactly asked him yesterday. And I didn't know that. So I don't want to be, you know, redundant here, right? I mean, you probably talked injuries.
Yeah, yeah.
Matchup a little bit?
A little bit. Like 3 minutes at the end matchup.
I had one question. So my last chat with Sal and you goes back to Monday. And it's memorable to me what Sal said at one point in that conversation. And we had already gotten a couple of calls that day to say mostly the same thing, was like praise for the defense.
Mm-hmm.
In a game the Bills won 48-42. Oliver and, you know, up front, pass pressure, that kind of thing. Sal, how would you put it? Sal Capaccio on the Western Hotline. Let's do this properly. How would you describe what the Bills were in this game in the secondary? We know they had injuries that were seemingly pretty costly. They also gave up tons of stats and points. But would your, if I'm putting this correctly, would your wanting to give the defense credit extend to the DBs, or maybe not quite?
Oh, yeah, for sure. In fact, it's mostly the DBs, to be quite honest with you. I mean, I should say mostly. Well, front seven did a good job on against the run, but it's hard to watch. You sound like a crazy person when you come on the radio and you say, hey, they gave up 42 points. I like the way the defense played, right? I mean, like, I get it. I totally understand that, right? But for me, what it came down to was they had a philosophy of, we have three backups in the secondary. Three starters are out. Three out of four, three out of five, I guess you look at Taron Johnson. Two starting safeties, all right? So, I mean, now you're really up against it on the back end. And I think the philosophy was, treat them like game managers. Don't lose the game for us. Don't get beat over the top. Don't give up a big play. Live to fight another down. Keep everything in front of you. Come up and make tackles. Were they perfect? No. They did get beat over the top one play. It actually didn't count. He dropped it. There was a holding call anyway. The only other big play was actually a mid-range pass, a little bit over Terrell Bernard's hands.
Yeah.
And then, you know, he takes it the rest of the way. Other than that, they didn't have any big plays. The Bills had, I mean, I think I looked, I have to go back and look. There was a 31-yarder mixed in there, but pretty much everything was like 24 yards or less, I think, for the Lions. So I would extend it to the DBs as far as this, Mike. I think they did their job. I don't think they were excellent. They didn't, like, oh my God, they blew me away. I think they did exactly what they were told to do in this game, and that's exactly how you're supposed to play it, I think, when you have the situation they have, especially when you're up two or three scores, which is why they were told to play that way most of the game.
That's a nice luxury. You know, sort of like the inverse of the Ram game, where you were chasing a little bit there and still ended up giving up big numbers, but didn't have the same advantage in that way. Okay. So this Deion Dawkins story today, Sal, is tough. How much do you know? And I think Dawkins spoke, right?
Yeah, so when we arrived at One Bills Drive today, that's when a lot of us first heard about it and didn't know. And we were told that Deion was going to be excused for personal reasons. we knew what was going on, but it was more about like how, you know, the Bills and Dion and, you know, everything that went into this would be kind of handled and brought to light, and, you know, what he was going to say. We didn't know if he'd be coming back. He was excused from practice at that time, guys. We had no idea if anybody was hurt or, God forbid, you know, passed away. And that was obviously the case that we found out a little bit later, where the pilot died in this tragic plane crash. We didn't know if the plane hit the house. Apparently it didn't. Obviously it was in the backyard or nearby property of his, because he has a lot of property there, where the house is. He came back to practice. He was listed as a non-participant. He was excused for personal reasons. He did speak to reporters, and basically was very, very, he was emotional talking about the pilot and the family, and, you know, hoping that the family is okay. And obviously it's tragic, and, you know, he's very thankful that everybody, his house is okay. But yeah, very reflective on it. And it's a really sad story, obviously. And unfortunately someone did pass away. It was the lone pilot, and there was one person in the aircraft, right, and it was the pilot. And I was in contact with WBEN trying to find out what they knew from the news side. And then we have the Bills side of it with Dion, obviously. But now it looks like, you know, the pieces have all come together, and Dion was back with the team and he did speak.
Did he talk about, like, was he, I'm sorry, I haven't had a chance to watch and listen to his comments since he returned and addressed this situation, Sal. So forgive me if this is a question I should know the answer to. What, was he home when it happened? Like, what did he,
no.
did he, okay, so.
He had showed up to the facility and
then got sent home, right? Okay, or when
got sent home. So so obviously, you know, I mean, it, for anybody, you know, that would be obviously a really scary situation.
Sure.
You know, that your family is home and that's happening. And but I think, you know, once that everything, you know, he assessed the situation and everybody knew what happened, and, you know, then he comes back to the facility. So, you know, Dion was back today, and he was the only player on the team who was a non-participant, but it was not injury related, obviously.
All right, so two injuries. Bail Inspector is a different status, or has a different status than yesterday?
Yeah, he's the only one, other than Dion, obviously. He went from not being on the injury report yesterday to being limited today with a calf injury. That is the same thing that put him on IR, by the way, a while back. So we'll have to find out tomorrow from Sean McDermott when he joins the Extra Point Show. Did he get hurt in practice? Is that going to keep him out of the game? Or is this something that maybe they just threw the walkthrough? They didn't, you know, necessarily, it didn't pop up. They didn't know. And then today was more of a full practice, so they, you know, treated it a little bit. And there's always those possibilities. So we'll find out. But otherwise, everything stayed the same today. Rasul Douglas, Damar Hamlin, Matt Milano, Taylor Rapp, Curtis Samuel, and Dorian Williams all limited for a second straight day.
But I did not see anyone in non-contact jerseys, or did I miss something?
You did not miss anything from what I saw when I was out there.
Right.
And but I will tell you, the non-contact is green,
right,
this week.
The offense is wearing red, right?
That's right, yes. So the offense, so it's a little different to look for.
The
but
whole
you're
offense
right.
Was in non-contact jerseys, you idiot.
Yeah, that's exactly right. The quarterbacks and the specialists were wearing green. That's the non-contact this week. And no, I did not see anybody else in a non-contact jersey. And it is noteworthy to me that Josh Allen, after going to the x-ray room after the game, and Sean McDermott confirming he had tests on Monday when he talked to us, Josh is not on the injury report at all. Like, he's not even listed, even as a full participant. And, you know, remember, he was on the injury report for many, many weeks.
With the
hand. 6, 7, 8 weeks after, with the hand injury after week one.
Sounds like the players are starting to get questions about the playoffs. Or even before that, you know, rest and all that conversation that we're headed, or we're well into, but we're sort of headed there again, or the Bills are. How are the players dealing with these questions? Because I doubt they really want to be talking about, let alone talking about the postseason yet.
I haven't particularly asked anybody about the playoffs, but I know that, you know, when it comes up as far as, you know, rest and stuff like that, and here or there, and I can't think of any specific examples. There's nothing really right now from the team. The team is full steam ahead. They're trying to win football games. They still have a look at the one seed, so they're going to play until that you know, presumably they're going to keep playing until that is out of their reach. So, you know, they're really, it's really week to week, trying to go 1-0 this week, right? That's the phrase. We're trying to go 1-0 this week. So yeah, I think, you know, if and when they've been asked about that, Mike, it's been mostly, well, you know, there's still time to play here and we're still playing and we have a football game against the New England Patriots and that's what's at our mind. And you wouldn't expect anything else from a Sean McDermott coach team to say things like that.
Right. I just heard Alan speaking on it a little bit. Like when I was listening, I was thinking to myself, get ready. You know, it's just starting, right? I mean, we're not to the playoffs yet. We are all possibly, even probably, almost to the phase of the season, though, where we're going to be talking, just like we are on WGR, about the value of rest, you know, versus the risk and all that stuff. Like, we're getting pretty close to that point. Could be by next week.
It could be. And I think once they can't get the one seed, if that happens here in the next week or two, then you have those conversations because those have come up before. And Sean McDermott's had to have those questions. And they've been in that position before. Remember week 18 at home against Miami 1 year, there was really nothing to play for. And Josh played a whole half, right? And then and wasn't that, you know, Isaiah McKenzie went off in that game. Remember, I think Josh played a half in that game, if I remember right. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that doesn't mean they would handle it the same way. I always think about McDermott saying that every team is different. Every circumstance is different. Some teams you might need that. Some teams you might not. This is a veteran group now, pretty much. There are some younger players, but especially the quarterback. He's been here. He's been through this a while. So, you know, maybe there's some young guys you do want to get, you know, some extra reps in at the end of the year. So, to me, it's a tough needle to thread sometimes because you also have the rest versus rust factor, right? And how long you want to, you know, lay off everybody before they actually play in a game. So I think those questions are coming, but I don't think they're coming until they really kind of know their fate, so to speak. And right now that's still up in the air.
Yeah. I wonder if McDermott will even, once we get there, I mean, I guess it sounds like I am rushing the conversation because I'm engaging in it here and furthering it along here. But
can do that, Bulldog.
Right. When we get there, if he'll talk, like if last year will have had any impact on his thinking, right? Because of the injuries in week 18, of course, you had to lean into those games. I mean, week 18, they needed to win the division and get the two. And then, of course, the next game was a playoff game. But the injuries, you know, like I wonder if that could spook a coach, or if like the football people are just sort of, it's football, it happens, you know, go out there, strap it up. But I'm just curious because I know, like for me, even weeks ago, thinking about the two versus the three, for example, like I don't know how hard I want to. I've always sort of gone after it, right? In my head, I could defend going after it. It matters. You don't know what's going to happen week to week. And if you're the two, you could still play at home in the title game. So go for it. I just wonder if their recent experience with injuries late in the year could change, and you know, how McDermott wants to handle that.
No doubt, no doubt. And listen, I have thought about like what is even better, right? Which is it better to be the one and have the week off and you know, have your two games at home? I think that is ideally it is, right? I know that. But you know, you also look, and this is from a fan perspective now, right? And a media perspective, which is, There might be a better opportunity at the two based on who's going to be in those seeds versus who's going to be in the, you know, who has to go and play the one seed at some point, like who's number four or five, which would go to number one if everything holds out.
Yep.
That being said, if you get to week 18 and you know exactly what's happening, there's some benefit in that too, because you can start to rest guys, no doubt about that. So I agree. It's a really good discussion. I'm not really sure. I will tell you this, though. The messaging has been consistent, guys, that their goal is the one seed. I mean, it's a goal coming into the year. Josh Allen said it after they won the AFC East. He said, we still want the one seed. We're going to play for it. I don't think that goal has changed. And Saturday could determine a little bit more about that, right? If the Kansas City Chiefs happen to fall to the Houston Texans, suddenly it's on. Like, you're playing now Sunday to pull within one game with two to play, and Kansas City's got to play Pittsburgh with a somewhat hobbled, you know, Patrick Mahomes, and they have to play Denver, who has a really good pass rush and almost beat them one time. And I think that gets you to, we're going to keep playing for this thing and pedal to the metal. Now, if Kansas City wins on Saturday, I don't think it changes anything about Sunday.
Right.
But the question is, does it change anything the following week? Because you'll already know when they play again against the Steelers on Christmas, obviously.
There is what percent chance that 7 seed is playing tonight? 95%?
I mean,
90%? Denver and the Chargers. How do you think of those teams as as playoff, potential playoff opponents? Like, are they dangerous to you? Something about their style? Because, you know, if it is 7 Denver or L.A. at 2 Buffalo, the Bills are probably, what, at least a 6-point favorite in that game, I would think, maybe?
Yeah, I've thought about this. It's a fascinating. It's really, for me, just in my brain, fascinating, right? Because it's going to be Denver, L.A., and then the outside chance of Indy, Miami, Cincinnati. They're still alive. So if I had to rank them, I think, like, who would be the preferred choice for me, for the Bills, matchup-wise? I'd put the Colts first. I don't think they'll get it, but I'd put the Colts first. I think I would put the Chargers next. But I would tell you that I think Sean McDermott against a rookie quarterback in Bo Nix, like, that's something that I think that, you know, would be okay. You feel comfortable about. But man, Sean Payton coaching him, he's looked good. They take shots down the field. They can be explosive. All it takes is a couple plays over the top of your head because they've done that this year. So I think Chargers coming from L.A. to Buffalo in the cold. Herbert's been a little bit banged up. They don't have this explosive offense. They can play some good defense, but, you know, look what Baker did to them and the Bucks last week. So I think the Chargers would be number two there. I would put Denver, I think, number three. And then I don't really want any part of Miami or Cincinnati.
Same here, man. Same here. Like, they're 2% chance or whatever for Cincinnati to get in. I'm not sure what Miami's chances are. But those two teams, I feel like I'm more worried about them than the teams that are in the spots right now.
And Joe DiBiase kind of disagreed with me today when he had initially said it, and then I disagreed with him, I should say. Like, he's like, oh, yeah, Miami, well, they always beat them. I'm like, yeah, but that's a division game. They almost beat the Bills in the snow in 2022, and then they almost beat them in the playoffs that same year, I believe it was. And you know, it was close,
right? And this year, it was a 61-yard field goal to beat them.
That's right. So, I mean, like, I don't know. I'd rather not see that, right? I think the other ones. But you're right, Mike. I think that tonight is probably the teams that you're seeing, that one of them is going to be the team that comes out into the 7 seed, and that's the team that comes to Buffalo. And I still think there's a lot of jockeying going on for 3, 4, and 5, because Baltimore and Pittsburgh, that is not set for who's going to win that division, and they play each other. And then you have Houston sitting there. Now, let's just say Pittsburgh loses this weekend to Baltimore. If Baltimore beats Pittsburgh this weekend because they play on Saturday, I mean, Houston is sitting there, and granted, they play before that, but what if they were to win? Suddenly, Houston has a look at the 3, right? I mean, it's very interesting how this could shake out.
I don't even know if I'd want it.
Yeah, everybody would be 10-5 if that happened. Baltimore would be tied with Pittsburgh, and then Houston, if they beat KC, would also be at 10-5.
Yep. Aren't the Bills, though, the team you would love to avoid? A team like, I mean, they've beaten the Bills. I don't know. Sal, thanks for referencing that Miami game in 2020, the season finale, one of the best games to look back on, 56-26. Just like, what a beatdown. Miami was 10-5, needed the game for playoff chances, and that happens against a team that had nothing to play for. By the way, Mac Hollins 1-for-3 in a lost fumble for the Dolphins in that game. That's right. That's what I was just leading up to that. All that was just leading up to that. Okay. So Mahomes here playing for the Chiefs on Saturday. Can we be that surprised?
I'm not at all. I said all week, I'll believe he's not playing when he's not playing. This happens every time. He looks like, oh, he's really hurt. I don't know. He got to be worried. You're going to have to monitor that. Oh, no. Fine.
Gumby.
Just so annoying. It's so annoying.
I agree. And you know what? They'll run the ball. And he'll make a couple of plays, even a couple scrambles probably, and we're going to hear all about it on national television, because look at this guy, and he's got this injury, and he's incredible, and he is great, we all know that, but that's what's going to happen, and then they'll wind up beating the Texans. I'll say it here, because I think that's just what's going to happen, because that's what does happen. And I texted John Harris today, our buddy, the sideline reporter. You guys know John, you've had him on, the sideline reporter for the Texans. And I just, about that game, and he said, well, we ain't going there to go through the motions, that's for sure. So there you go. You know, I think that they want to play this game, the Texans. You just said, Mike, a little while ago, like, you know, what are the Texans kind of have their spot a little bit wrapped up here if they want the number 4. But, you know, Houston would love to win this game. They'd love to go make a statement in Kansas City. There's no doubt about that.
So asking Bills players who they'd rather see in the playoffs between any of these teams is not a question Sal Capaccio put to them out at the stadium today. How dare anybody ask them that? Very good.
Not going to happen.
Sal, thank you.
All right, guys. You too. Thanks a lot.
That's our Sal Capaccio on the Wester Hotline. His appearances here are always brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet?
you know, I've probably said it every time. Everybody sort of says the same kind of thing. Is it the players really not wanting to play hard or something? Like, I don't think it works like that. The whole thing about the motivation is organizationally. Coaching decisions on taking guys out. I think the Texans, like, if this were us, okay, fine. Of course you're going to tell me how important it is. And, of course, players, when they suit up, are not going to go lightly. I don't mean that. But I would want to mess around here in this game a little bit.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hey, y'all, it's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first ever 12-team playoff era, so join me, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott, as we drop new episodes 5 times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championship stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Can I get to the 3 seed at best? Yes. I don't think I care that much about the difference between 3 and 4. What's the difference between Kansas City and Buffalo this year? I think I'd rather play the Chiefs. So here I am playing the Chiefs in their stadium where I'd maybe be headed back. I'm not trying to lose, but coaching-wise, play calling, you know, scheme stuff, I would want to try to throw curveballs all day. And that, you know, different things, experiment or try to set your opponent up for a future meeting, all that kind of thing. You know, you can say whatever, 3D chess or whatever you might want to say about that. But I don't think you really want to go or have to go so straight up in this matchup in the name of running down the 3 seed. Because really, again, what is the difference between the 3 and the 4? You're not even getting necessarily a better draw. You're playing at home once and once only.
Right.
Probably.
Yeah, I mean, you know, sure, mayhem could ensue, and like both the 1 and 2 could lose, and you're the last, you know, big, you know, the highest seed left standing, and but, like, I mean, that
the Rams
just seems not super likely, but it could happen.
Right. When the Rams won,
yeah,
as the 4, they got
home, yeah,
that way.
Right. So, yeah, I mean, I'm kind of the same. Even I would say more so. What I'm doing in the game versus who's doing it, right? Like, I don't think with 3 games to go, there's a conversation to be had, but I don't think I'm shutting people down because I'm comfortable with my seating. But I think I would want to mess around with the game plan, like you're saying. Like, let's do some different stuff and see if we can't set up stuff for if we meet again, like I'm going to give you a look and you're going to think it's this thing, but it's not. It's, you know, stuff like that. I think I would definitely want to get into my bag pretty deeply on that front. But playing guys, like it, to me, it's like it's almost too early to start resting, I would say. Like that's where I think I'm a football player, I'm going to play football, would sort of carry the day. Doesn't have to be right, but that's just how I think I would do it. Because, I mean, you could get hurt and get burned. But, again, it's just there's a lot left. And it's just, you're not going to rest guys for 3 weeks, right? Like, even though they're all set, perhaps, and maybe they feel that way, they're not resting Stroud until the playoffs, right? So Stroud's playing.
But Mixon, you're for playing. One.
Yeah, well, maybe that's a good... That like, might work.
Huge workload this year. Injured last week against the Dolphins. Might have gone back in, but doesn't sound like it's super serious. That's one where... But, you know, do you leave that up to the player? These things can get kind of back and forth. But if I'm the Texans, that's a guy... I don't need to be running him into the ground here. Mm-hmm. Right? He's 217 carries already, I'm seeing. 32 more catches. He's just been on the field constantly for them. 803-0550, talking about the one seed. How important is it right now to you that the Bills get it? Doesn't seem likely, but it's still possible. That's what a lot of what we've been talking about today and all the time lately is these sort of different, sometimes warring, motivating factors. Mike Chauvin, the Bulldog here. Lines are open. This is WGR.
Throughout my time, I've been here having fun, making sure I'm coming to this building, having a smile on my face with when everybody sees me, making sure I say hello and dap them up and let them know how much I love being here. I think it is infectious. I think it's something that can spread throughout the team. But at the same time, when I'm not smiling, it's because something's not right. And guys understand that too, so they can lock in. And again, it just takes quote-unquote reps, right, of being in this building and making sure we're going through and doing the little things the right way. And when things are up to par, you know, I understand that, and guys on the team can tell that, too, based on my face.
Josh Allen, much like Bulldog here, keeping it positive hall.
Yeah.
In the hallways.
Yep.
I caught myself whistling today walking around here, and I thought, you can't be in a bad mood if you're whistling. When have you ever been in a bad mood? And you're whistling. That's not something your brain would ever do if you were upset. You'd be distracted by being upset.
I think that's right, yeah. I don't think if you're upset, you'd be inclined to whistle a sad song.
When you got into that sweaty rant earlier, I'm pretty sure when it ended, you just didn't start whistling.
No, I definitely did not.
Sad song. That's funny, though, whistling like really depressing songs.
Right.
I think I've done that.
I am now thinking of like one of the saddest songs I know and thinking I think I could whistle that, but I'm not prepared to do it right now on the radio, unrehearsed.
In that, about half the music I listen to is the same 20 Radiohead songs. I've probably done it. Let's go to Tom here. Hi, Tom.
Hey, guys. As far as the one seed, you know, to me, it seems like there's just a lot of luck involved with winning the Super Bowl. And if you get the chance to have a week off, you automatically get a pass into the second round. You literally can't get hurt if you're not playing, you know, and unless you fall in your bathtub, I suppose. And, you know, the max that they're going to get is maybe some of their stars can rest, you know, late in the last week or three quarters, or maybe Josh gets the whole game off. You can't rest the whole team. So to me, you know, the you kind of give yourself a better percentage, you know, of the dice kind of falling your way in the playoffs. I mean, you could have a bad day. You could have a bunch of linebackers get injured in a blowout win. So I just think that, you know, the idea of the number one seed, especially with only one team getting the bye, is just such an advantage.
I agree. It's massive. And it to me... I would say it this way, even though it doesn't work this way. Like, if I had to choose, like if someday they got to a point where they said, you know, with only one, it's a little too much of an advantage for just the one team. So instead of getting the week off, getting the bye, and ensuring that you're playing at home, choose. You got to choose. You don't get both benefits, right? And whichever one you don't want, maybe the two gets, or something like that. I would choose going on the road and skipping the first week. Like, I would skip the first week.
Me too.
And go play wherever I got to play. Because is that ideal? No. Is it as much an advantage? No. But I think the time off, avoiding slipping on a banana peel or the officials screwing something up or the sky ref, or, and then, you know, I haven't even mentioned injuries yet, but then you can get to that. Although I guess slipping on a banana peel could be an injury too, but I was thinking more of like, you know, you lose a game you really were favored by 10 points in or something in the wild card round. So I think missing out, not having to play that extra game is far and away. I already said it. I would take that. If I had to choose one benefit or the other, I would take the week off, and then fine, I'll go win two games on the road and try to get to the Super Bowl.
It is too much of an advantage what it is now.
Yeah. That's what I feel like I just kind of realized sounding all that out.
It used to be perfect because the second seed would get the bye too, but the one seed would have home field.
Mm-hmm.
That used to be perfect, but we had to have more playoff teams,
right?
Which nobody ever really cared about, right?
No,
so many things. So many things sports does,
right?
Just to add rounds and teams and the playoffs and everything else. Nobody really wanted it.
Even in the throes of the drought, I can remember sitting in here saying, "Like, I don't need extra teams in. I don't need you to expand the field." Because there were a couple of years there, or maybe at least four. I think the Bills would have made it if there were seven teams in.
We've talked about this. I'm not sure.
I think that would be
the only year of the drought where it was possible, but there were two other 9-7 teams, the Ravens and the Jaguars,
right,
that might have, well, I'm looking at it now, the Bills ended up as the 9.
Okay, well.
In 2004.
All right. So even then. But yeah, I didn't need extra teams. I think the one and the two getting it, and then the two has to go on the road if the one holds serve, was ideal. I think there should be more. It's such a physical, violent sport. There should be more of a reward if you have, you know, a 14-win team and a 13-win team. I think they both should get that week off. But, you know, they've changed it, and that's that. So, I don't know. Like, I definitely don't sense that there's any sort of conversation around that idea.
No, what they'll do next, if anything, is add an eighth team.
Right. And maybe if they do that and they get back to square numbers, you could get back to two teams having the bye.
Well, it probably would be no bye for anybody.
Oh.
And it would be on Paramount Plus.
Great.
That's what would happen. That's right. The next move.
That's it.
An eighth playoff team that'll be, you know, mediocre, average, necessarily. That's your advantage by being the one. You get to play them. You get to play the Colts.
I just stumbled into this idea. It's not something I'd ever written down or thought about prior to just now saying it, but I like this. I think it's a good idea. Let the one seed pick. What do I want? Home field or a week off? And then go from there. But that probably will never happen.
I think everybody would take the bye.
Right? Yeah.
I mean, you could lose that game. You could lose to Denver.
Right.
Some teams do.
Yep.
The Bills did a year ago.
That's right.
Somehow.
Yes.
Dan is next. Hello, Dan.
Hey, guys. I live out of town now, and I love listening to you guys on the Odyssey app. I miss Buffalo. I miss the Bills, and it's just great to hear you guys.
Thank you.
Many years ago, I couldn't.
Where do you live?
Saratoga Springs.
All right. Beautiful.
Yes. It's a great city in and of itself, but I sure miss Buffalo. Hey, on your question, you know, the scheduling gods were good to us this year, and they weren't so good to Kansas City. So I think we got to play that out. That's a gift. We can't ignore that gift. So I think we got to go as far as we can with this. And then when it's an impossibility, then we shift. My question out of that is, what would it look like if we sat the starters? I don't know the rules of how many players we can call up in the practice squad. What would the Bills look like if we were sitting a bunch of starters? If you could kind of tell me that.
It would look like the preseason. I mean, if you went hard at that and sat, I mean, double digits in terms of starters, which a Week 18 game, Dan, could be, it would look like the second preseason game, maybe.
Yeah, without 90 guys, though. But still, you've got backups at every position. So, I mean, you've got enough guys. where you can do it. You get two tackles, couple of guards, give me my backup center. There's your offensive line. You probably call up a couple of practice squad receivers, or maybe a DB and a receiver, whatever. And you know, there's guys that have been playing roles here. Cam Lewis, Jamarcus Ingram have started games and big plays. I mean, Jamarcus Ingram has a pick six this year. But guys like that would play in place of, you know, Rapp and Hamlin and Christian Benford.
Yeah.
Is what I would expect. So it's really that. You know, the trick there is if something happens to those guys, and then you got to scramble. It's like you're not making your starters inactive. All of them anyway. Some guys would be. I think Diggs has been inactive in some of these season finales, if I remember correctly. But you'd need guys just in case something happens to those, you know, the backups. But, you know, that's really it. The rules don't change as far as call-ups go. You still have the elevation limits that you're faced with all season long. So, you know, they could... No, I don't think there's really any way to get really, you know, sign guys and that because you don't have the roster room. So it would just be backups.
Jalen Virgil, welcome back to the squad.
Right.
Yeah, the preseason isn't even a good answer because of so many more players. You would have a lot of handoffs.
Yeah.
You would have a steady dose of Ty Johnson.
Or Frank Gore Jr.
Right. Hey, Jeremy, if you're out there, what's going to take to get you to put Ty Johnson in your lineup this week? Can I talk you into that? Make it interesting. Come on. Jeremy, the one seed. League of Shopes and Dreams, Bulldog. Sorry you're not in it.
Yeah.
Pick your opponent. He picked me. I'm the two.
Wow.
He picked the two over the three and the four. The three is Joe or Louie, three or four. And he's afraid of Joe, I guess.
Sounds like me. It. Yeah.
You think he should start Ty Johnson?
Or maybe he just wanted, like, crossover show drama. Oh, because dang. if he's just playing Joe, it's like it's all contained just to the morning show. Whereas if he's playing you, like, we can have, you know, just all kinds of trash talking between the shows.
I did the sort of loser move of inviting myself onto his show tomorrow.
Nice.
Which is not what you should do. But I said, you know what, I'm available as long as it's after 9, so I'm up. I'm available to jump on for a few minutes.
Good job.
Jeremy doesn't need to start Ty Johnson, although he does have on his bench Nick Chubb, David Montgomery, Sincere McCormick, Brandon Ayuk, and Deontay Johnson.
That's a lot of inactive players is what that is.
Can't start any of those guys.
Right.
But he's got Bijan, Kyren Williams, Swift. He's loaded. They'll win. Maybe. 803-0550, the importance of the one seed as we continue. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, Denver at the LA Chargers tonight. What is the number percent chance, actually, that one of these two teams is the 7 seed? It's super high. All the other teams outside are got to be single digits to make it.
The Bengals have a 2% chance. I don't know Miami and Indy, but they have the same records. I don't know from tiebreakers or whatever or head-to-heads with the Chargers or the Broncos.
It would be a little bit higher than Cincinnati,
okay,
but not a lot higher.
Right, so maybe somewhere between 2 and 5%, all those teams. So, yeah, Denver and L.A. are looking pretty solid there.
Still could be Baltimore?
I guess. Sure, they could fall there.
10 and 7?
Yeah. Yeah, that could happen.
What are they now? 9-5?
They're 9-5, same as Denver.
They could even be 9-8 then.
Yeah.
But they're almost in. I think they clinch with a win this week. Denver is in with a win tonight. Chargers need a win and some help from those other teams you mentioned to do it. But that could happen, and if it does, everybody in the AFC will be, we know the playoff field, with 2 weeks to go, which is a little sad.
Right. Meanwhile, over in the NFC, only the Bears, Panthers, and Giants are officially eliminated. So you've got the Saints at 5-9, and go up from there. 6-8, Dallas, San Fran, same. Arizona and Atlanta are both 7-7. Seattle is 8-6. They're the last team out right now, or the first team out.
How is Dallas still alive?
Oh, it's kind of incredible, isn't it?
3 games behind Washington with 3 left. That's how. Let's go to Ron next. Hello.
Hey, guys. I think the number one seed is super important. Obviously, last year versus Pittsburgh, we lost, guys. But with that said, because of who we're playing, we could probably have each one of these games wrapped up by halftime, mid-third quarter. We could still rest players and have best of both worlds. I just can't see these games being competitive. And I know in the past, Jets give us trouble, but not now. This offense of ours is just incredible. I think we can get the best of both worlds here. We can rest and watch KC fall flat on their face the last 3 weeks and get the number one seed. That's my thought. Thanks.
Sounds great, Ron. I mean, I hope it happens. They are big favorites. They will be big favorites in all three of these games. But to me, this came up very early in the show today. You got to really be sure. And halftime, I mean, you're talking about like a 30-point lead for me at halftime if you're pulling guys out. And that could happen. I don't think it's very likely. To me, it's more likely you get to, you know, a 24-point lead and it's the fourth quarter and you go like, all right, we're probably good here. And especially depending on how the game has gone. Like if it's a game like the Ram game or this Lions game last week, you know, you're way ahead, but they're scoring too, right? You've got 40, but they've got 20. You might be a little more leery. But if you're cruising, you know, 27-3 or something, and it's the fourth quarter, I think you probably will feel all right pulling guys out.
Last year, New Year's Eve, the Bills hosted the Patriots and won the game 27-21 as a 14-point favorite. It was 20-14 at halftime. Remember the Patriots, it was Zappy this game last year. And I think they had four turnovers with maybe 12 minutes left in the second quarter. The Douglas pick six. There might have been another one from Douglas before that. It was just a turnover fest. But still, the game stayed close pretty much throughout.
Right.
So you didn't, that last year was different. You weren't playing to rest guys because you had to keep pushing. But it wouldn't have been a game where you're taking anybody out.
Right.
If that happens this week. 803-0550. How important is the one after everything we've learned about this season? Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here, WGR.